la mer. Qu'on voit danser.
And welcome back to the Team Effort, part two of our very special movies and TV episodes. The bombshells that have been dropped so far have been quite remarkable. Still here is director and comedian Captain Tony Martin.
Hello.
Good to see you. Well, still. Comedian and Insta-deal maker Ash Williams.
Yes. Hello.
An award-winning actor and Australian Batman and Robin collectibles record holder, yes. Lockie Hume.
Yo, yo, yo.
Oh, that's his...
Jazzy Drake.
Up top, Ash, no boom, boom. Thanks, buddy.
Boom, boom.
Wow.
The two former neighbours, Ash and Udi, Ash and Lockie. Now, it is live comedy show time all around the country. Ash, you've been working on your new show called...
Back in Business.
Now, back in business, because quite literally you are...
Back in business.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm living proof, true stories, brand new stories, the last 12 months, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about great businessmen, you know, past and present.
Wonderful. Like whom?
Aristotle.
Aristotle.
Philosopher. Aristotle Onassis as well. I love his stuff.
Okay. Have you got a quote that you could just rattle off the top of your head?
Absolutely. Aristotle Onassis said, in business, you need to know something that nobody else knows.
Mm-hmm. What do you know, Ash?
I know about credit cards, Lockie.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that is very true.
I know you get them.
Yep.
And that's your money.
Yeah. It's good. And let that be a big lesson for your kids out there.
And there's going to be songs. There's
songs.
There's keyboard songs.
Wow.
There's all the hits. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be business degrees to hand out. I shouldn't be saying this now, but you can get a business degree in 50 minutes. Fastest in the world, Ed.
What?
Wow.
Faster than Bond University.
And listen, I know for a fact, I've seen everything Ash has ever done. He's so ahead of the curve. You are.
Yeah.
And you know what? The last show I saw you do, which is at last year's Comedy Festival, where you talked about your experiences as a tickler, a tickly.
Mm.
You know, there's a documentary about that now.
Oh, absolutely. I was asked to be in it, yeah.
Bang.
Now, we need to talk about that because a guy came out at Tone and made a documentary about these tickle videos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he was badgering you, Ash, for how long to be a part of it?
6 months.
And remember, you said no, and I love this about you. Now, why do you remember why he said no?
No, I asked you. I said, Ed, this guy wrote to me on Facebook, because I was like, yeah, this is great. He's going to... Well, he wasn't going to pay me, but like, fuck, I mean, it sounds... You know, I'll
but
be
it's
in a movie.
Come out. That's been a big deal, hasn't it, that film?
Yes.
It's a big deal, but then...
Apparently there's a sequel in the pipeline.
Too. Really? Yeah. Oh, no, bugger then. But Ed, you had a good point. You said, nah, don't do it. Because I want to be able to control the way the story is told, because it's a heartwarming story. It's not... A dodgy story.
Yes.
It's a beautiful story.
So it hasn't been done properly yet. So
that's
this is
correct.
Like
that's what I'm
this
saying.
Is like when there was 18 again, Dream a Little Dream, and Like Father, Like Son, and then someone went, we're going to do a fourth body swap comedy. What are you doing that for? There's already been three. We're going to do it better. And that was big.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
There you go.
And then suddenly 30.
We're going to take it back to the level of 18 again.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's right. I said no. And the other thing was, Locke, and you'll appreciate this in Tone, I didn't like the way this guy was doing something which I really dislike at the moment, where people do these documentaries, but they stand outside it and sort of make fun of or comment on something without ever having the guts to do it themselves.
Oh, right.
This guy never went and did a tickle video, Locke, and yet he wanted to stand outside and poke fun at the people that it had.
That's why Ash needs to do direct it himself. I agree you need to be in control.
Direct,
you could corner the tickle market.
No, I don't want to. I've already been asked. I got an email once a month in LA from the tickle video directors saying, your character Jasper is getting the highest hits of all time. We want to bring him back.
Yep.
And I said, no.
For those that haven't seen the tickle video.
It's a real thing. If you Google tickle video Jasper and then get your credit card out and... it's $29, and for a month, that's all you can eat. You can just enjoy...
All you can stroke, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And
what's the one called, the documentary that's out?
Tickled.
Yes.
Tickled. So what would yours be? Could it be... There's already a book, Mr. Tickle, for the kids, because that would be a good title.
Yep. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. What do you reckon, Ash?
Could be some copyright issues, though.
Well, yes. Tickle me, Ash.
Been done, yes.
It's been done.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, mate. It would need to... Like, I'd need to know what the premise of the film is. Like, you know, am I talking about... I'd have to go back into the industry if I was going to do it, and I would be... the best ever.
Well, hang on, you getting all those hits, this is quite a good starting point, because you've gone in, yeah. you've done it, you've left the industry, yeah. and then the phone's ringing, and hang on, you're the number one guy.
Oh, yes, that's right. They're dragging me back in.
Like when James Brown, they put the coat back on him and he runs back to the microphone. It's that kind of story.
It's true.
It's back true. In business. It's back in the tickle business.
Back in business, back tickle style.
Back in shackles. Back in the shackles. Because there is a great bit when, well, I'll let you take it from here, just the storyline, just the bit where obviously you've been injected with a syringe full of...
sleeping serum.
They get you in the neck and you go, what was that? And the guy says, it's sleep.
No, it's you got the sleeping needle, dude. You know, Lucky, you are an illustrious actor. When you've got to play... that you've just been injected with a sleeping needle, yep. that's acting. That's acting.
Yeah. And I've seen it. As I mentioned it before, you know, Ash, you're in my top 10. And the way you essayed the collapse is, it's truly something to behold. And, you know, unfortunately, they just don't give out Oscars for this kind of stuff.
They should.
It's like comedy category. The comedy always gets overlooked. That's tickle right. films always get overlooked.
That's right. That's right. And when you wake up from the sleep, that's the next piece of acting, because where was Jasper?
Yeah. Come on.
I should have been nominated for a Gold Logie.
Oh.
Even though it wasn't in Australia.
Wow.
There's something for you.
Wow. You and
Food for thought.
Yeah, Roger.
Food for thought.
Well, a big shout out, because we're all going to be voting for who for the Gold Logie this year?
Oh, I'm going for Hellier.
I love the idea that Hellier is on the list, but Tone, you're going for...
Every year I vote for Pete Smith. I don't know if he's nominated, but that's my choice.
I'm going for the star of Doctor,
yep.
Roger Corsa.
Doctor.
Is he a doctor that only works on doctors? Could is they? He the doctor?
Is he connected to the Thompson twins? Only very old people will know what that means.
Has he got
doctor?
Oh, give me the news. Is it that song?
That's something else.
Oh.
What's Dr. Doctor?
No, that's Robert Palmer.
Oh, that's Robert Palmer.
That's equally old.
Speak.
Yeah, that's Doctor by the Thompson twins.
Is it really?
Why am I getting that sting? I wanted my Batman sting.
If something goes wrong now, you'll hear this.
Man.
Speaking of roles and acting, Locke.
Yeah, mate.
Tone, Lockie, these days, are you an offer-only actor?
Yes.
Oh, so you...
I have been since for about 10 years now.
Since Packer?
No, before then.
Okay.
Yeah. Really, around Hollow Men time.
So you don't audition... So if, let's say that someone sends you an audition, you...
No, I'd have to be... I mean, I'll pursue something and I would test for something if it was something I really wanted
right.
that no one could see me in. But because
right.
I've sort of done so many different types of things, people can sort of go, oh, he can change the way he looks, or he can do
right.
it, or do this or do that.
So the Mineshaft movie.
Yeah.
Straight.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I did go in and meet on that, and Glendon Ivan, who directed that, Shaft of Hope, as I kept calling it.
I don't think we've actually talked about this with Lockie.
Oh, yeah. Good.
We've talked about it before.
Because remember, you guys kept saying it was going to be Shane Jacobson and Dave O'Neill.
Yes. Shane Jacobson as
Todd.
Todd and yep. Dave O'Neill's Brand. Right. And then it ended up being...
me as Todd and Shane as Brand. And yes. Here's what happened, is that when the phone call came to... Shane Jacobson's version
Beaconsfield
of events, because
movie.
Of Get This and because of the Shaft of Hope stuff, and you guys are always talking up the fact Shane's going to play Todd, when his agent called and said, they want you for the Beaconsfield movie, he immediately said, yep, it's going to be Todd because of Get This.
Wow.
And then they said, no, Lockie Hume's playing Todd. Yeah. They want to meet you for Brand.
For Brand.
But I'll tell you what, when I got the phone call about Todd,
yes.
it was on a Friday night, and my agent rang and said... they want to meet with you about the Beaconsfield movie, and I said, oh, what, Shaft of Hope?
No, Ash Williams is in that.
But yeah, it's a great experience.
And I have to say, fantastic work from you as always. But I was disappointed that at the very end, when you came up out of the mine,
mm-hmm.
and then where did it end? Did it end with a freeze frame of you walking towards the ambulance? It never went as far as real life when, of course, Todd and Brent jumped into the ambulance. The ambulance drove off, and Koshy ran out of nowhere and leapt into the ambulance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the image that
Tone, you... Tone, who would you have cast? Let's say you were doing it. Who would you have cast?
You're the king of lookalikes.
I reckon it's a chance for Lockie Hume to do some Peter Sellers multiple roles.
Oh, my God.
Get the bald wig on.
I would have loved it.
And run into the ambulance and with multiplicity style effects.
Buddy.
Spoken to himself as Lockie.
Missed opportunities.
And then we cut to Ash Williams as Sam Armitage back in the studio.
Boom! Boom.
Can I show you, Lockie, and then pass it to Tone? This is a screenshot from last night's Home and Away. Have a look at that.
Oh, my God.
Have a look at that.
It's an Ash lookalike.
Okay, pass it to Tone.
Is that an Ash alike or is that a young Ash?
Okay.
It's an Ash alike.
No, that is, I took a photo of that last night because I hadn't seen Home and Away in a while, and I went, oh, my God. That guy looks exactly like Ash. And so then I showed it to you today, Ash.
And I said, yeah, mate, I auditioned for that role. And you know what the character's name on Home and Away is? Ash.
Oh!
Is that, Batman, Batman sound effect? Jay, for God's sakes.
Is that man impinging on your rebrand?
Copyright.
And here's another thing. He's from New Zealand. No offense, Tony.
Oh, well, because it was one of these.
I got a worse one. There is an actor. There's a British actor called Richard Armitage, right?
Who? I always think is you.
Yeah, right. Okay. So what? When Peter Jackson was doing The Hobbit,
there we go.
So I went in and tested for that role. Okay.
You know, there's one of the Hobbits.
Yeah, he looks exactly like Lockie.
Yes. Okay. Wait. So I go in and I read. I can't remember what the character's name was. So I went in and I tested for that role. I'm thinking, oh well, man, that's good because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know,
thinking, 3 years. Yeah.
You buy a house out of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went and tested for it, then went back, got called back to do another test for it.
Wow.
Okay, so fantastic. And the casting people here in Melbourne said, yeah, looks really good for you for this role. Then there was a dispute between Peter Jackson and Australian Actors Equity about fees or something. I can't remember what it was all about.
Yes.
And then we were told, no, all of the people who've tested from Australia will no longer be eligible for The Hobbit. Oh. And then Richard Armitage got cast.
Suddenly they've gone with a humour like.
Oh, my
not concentrate on those Hobbit
and
movies.
Again, there's the Kiwi connection.
Yep.
No offence, don't.
all the way through, I just kept thinking, it's him. No, it's not him. It is him. Is it him?
It is one of the great lookalikes. We'll put it up on part of our socials. Now, in the Hobbit movies, they sort of shrink folks down, don't they? You do it at normal. You don't do, Tony, what's happening in this photograph in a photo on sub.
That is a photograph, a still that I put up on Twitter. It's from episode 6 of the Daryl Summers show.
Yeah.
Sadly, the last one that's gone up to Summers Carol, which is Daryl himself, has put up the first 6 episodes.
Now, Summers Carol is located where, Ash?
Across the road from my house.
Basically, what you're seeing in that photo is Daryl dressed as Tattoo, played by Hervé Villechaize from the Fantasy Island series. But he's talking to Victoria Nichols, who is in the middle of singing Island of Lost Souls by Blondie. So Daryl comes out and goes, well, it's big in the charts. It's one of the biggest hits at the moment. We've got, it's Blondie's Island of Lost Souls. We can't afford to bring Blondie out. So instead, here's Victoria Nichols singing it with me as Tattoo from Fantasy Island. And just for no reason, Groucho and Harpo Marx singing along as well.
Groucho is there. And
madness.
Daryl's. The reason I talk about the in the old days, Tony, before we had the technology to shrink people down, how did you affect?
Well, what you would do if you were Daryl Summers is you would get a pair of carpet slippers and you would staple them to your knees
and then you'd shuffle around. It's what we call half rude style.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, Jay,
I urge everyone to get on to
the. I did it last
night. I reckon they're going to be taken down.
Ash is our inside man. You have got to walk across the road, give a knock on the door.
Well, I said to you, Ed, I want to go into Summers Carol anyway.
Mm.
And, you know, what do I do? I want to talk to Daryl anyway.
You want to pitch something. What would you pitch? Because you and Daryl would be fantastic together.
Yeah.
What would it be? What would the Ash and Daryl?
It'd be like chocolate and peanut butter together.
Yeah,
at last,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, remember, Ed, you had that funny idea of asking Daryl Summers to be my lawyer.
That's right.
Oh, so, what if he was your lawyer as Tattoo?
That's on the knees. Yeah.
And you're also in a white suit like Mr. Rourke.
That's good.
That's a good poster.
And every time that Daryl has to like storm out of negotiations, it takes forever because he's got to shuffle. He's got to shuffle out of the room. Isn't it coming back in here?
While he's shuffling out, John Blackman is just saying,
oh, doing
he's
things.
Mocking him.
Nurse! Do we have the theme song from the Daryl Summers show?
Why don't you just remake Fantasy Island?
They attempted to, I think.
That's one that comes up.
They did. Come on, from Clockwork. Clockwork Orange.
Oh, Malcolm McDowell.
Yes.
Yes, they did, because I always think Westworld, that's just a fancy version of Fantasy Island,
yes.
Really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and how, and what's the, every now and again someone comes up with an innovation. Let's go with Peter Jackson with his shrinking and all of his, you know, he does that, what is it called, Locke, when he does the pre-modelling, so he basically makes the film in a computer.
Previs.
Previs, and then they go out and shoot from his old cartoons from the two, whatever.
Yeah.
I've lost my train of thought. What was the invention? What was I talking about?
I don't know. Shrinking
theme music.
Yes. Theme music.
Daryl Summers.
Daryl Summers.
Sometimes when I look at Ash, all my thoughts disappear.
I know. I saw then that you.
I saw you glaze over too.
Wiped your brain.
It was a memory wipe. Yeah, he got me. Okay. Tone.
Yes.
Lockie. Yep. Westworld, the current most recent, Ash, of course, is that the most recent series, Jay, as well, has invented something new. They've got a get around. Now, their get around that they invented is that they want to have it chock full of nude. They want Wang, they want boobs, they want the whole shebang. And the way they got around it...
Wang and
we
shebang.
We want Wang, boobs and shebang.
And shebang.
Here's your pitch. We'll go into Summer's Carol with that.
Wang, shebang. Ash. Wang world.
Wang, bang, and shebangs and boobs.
Take it or leave it, Daryl.
Don't get up, Daryl. Here's what they... Because it's chock full of nudity.
I haven't seen it yet, so it is chock full of nudity.
Full of nudity. Even just background nudity, Ash.
So how's that a get around? That's just
because
nudity.
No, it's android nudity.
Oh.
They're not people, they're androids. That's android nudity you're
robots
looking at.
Robots in the nutty.
Yes, robots in the nutty. That's not rude. Those two are having sex. No, those two robots are simulating sex. But that's a boring scene, but there's two robots having sex behind it. No, they're discussing programming, and that's a simulation of sex that's going on behind them.
Anthony Hopkins wouldn't be in something with real nudity.
He most certainly would not. Here's the thing. Our trumpeter's getting very tired. Should say that is being done live. It's Lawrence Mooney on rusty trombone.
Robots are getting more and more lifelike, guys. I was reading an article this morning about a robot. She's a beautiful woman. She's Russian. And she has a fully functioning G-spot.
What?
Absolutely. I loved it. And
so is this something you just buy at Club X? Is that what you're talking
about? No. Or is this just a Russian prostitute that says beep, boop, boop, every day they get?
It's a real thing.
What website were you on, Ash, when you were looking at this?
A UK website.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the guy who was trying to sell the robots was like, she likes to be touched in two areas, the lips and the G-spot.
Right.
Wow.
And what did he look like? Describe that guy.
Is it tattoo or whatever? Fantasy Island?
I'm picturing someone like Ken Bruce's gone mad.
Yeah. She's got a G-spot.
So, I'm picturing Dr. Jeffrey. I'm picturing Jeffrey Edelston.
Oh, no. Due to a shipping order, we got too many G-spots and they've all got to go.
Jeffrey Edelston, I reckon the next wife of Jeffrey Edelston is going to be one of these Russian
G-spot robot. We met at a dinner party. What are these dinner parties? Party's tone that he keeps going to meet these young Americans keen to fly out.
They're so keen to have a piece of the action.
I'll just say too that you can. The aim is to make the robot orgasm.
Sure. Right. Oh, the aim.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
And does a bell go off like when you hit that hammer thing?
No.
He's the show.
No, it's nice. Her hand shakes.
Does it?
Yeah, so you've got to. He goes, yeah.
Well, that can be taken advantage of.
Two for one.
Sorry, I feel like I'm filling for Mooney.
He'll be screaming at the pod right now, trying to dive in. Let's get back on safer ground. Jay, do we have that theme music, please?
This is quite good. Now you reckon this is not bad?
This is, of course, at Tone the Theme 2.
The Daryl Summers Show.
This is it.
With Jeff Harvey.
Oh, Jeff
and
Harvey
the band.
Did it.
Yep.
Oh.
Jeff Harvey original.
Wow. Because it is. It's quite jaunty.
And it's all downhill from here.
The voiceover guy. Apologies in advance.
I used to love on Hey Hate Saturday, whenever a band would be on and then the band would finish and the applause and they're going to the ads, John Blackman would always go, "All right."
Oh, yes.
Right. As in, every time.
I'm down with the kids.
Yes. Spot on. And it would usually be on a shot of Wilbur Wilde with the glasses.
Right, yes.
All right.
He's playing it. I did a live podcast with Santo and Sam for our soccer one the other day, for our ABC one.
Yeah.
And it was at a jazz club. And Wilbur Wilde was going to be performing in a couple of days.
Good guy.
Lovely guy.
What's the Australian movie where Wilbur Wilde appears playing a saxophone in a jacket with the sleeves rolled up, Gavin Wood 80s style?
I'm tempted to say Houseboat Horror, but...
Close. Yep. Cool and Gadda Gold.
Oh, what a movie. What a film. What a movie. Mm-hmm.
What was the D-Gen's response to Cool and Gadda Gold?
We did the Bermagui Bronze, yep. which was all about coming third for Australia. But then, do you remember years ago, though, there was the bloke who did, I think it was the guy that did Deadwood. Yeah. So that would be David Milch. I might have this wrong. Remember he did one called John from Cincinnati?
That,
and it was really strange.
About surfers?
And you know what it was? It was just an arty remake of the Cool and Gadda Gold. The two brothers who rival surf life-saving Iron Man.
Milch has signed on to do True Detective Season 3.
I don't want to name drop, but I'm about to. I had lunch the other day with Franklin Ajay.
Oh,
God. The great, great comedian who's basically retired, lives here in Melbourne.
Wow.
And was recently, the last thing I think he was seen in, he was in Bridesmaids.
Yeah, he was in Deadwood.
He's in Deadwood playing a character we can't say the name of.
Not in this time slot.
The N-word general would be the way to say it.
Yes.
And he dropped the hint that there might be a Deadwood movie finally. You know how there was talk of a
Deadwood talk of a movie.
But that wasn't actually true. That wasn't coming from Milch.
False talk.
There might really be one. And Franklin might be suiting up.
Look at Tone. You've turned into Richard Reed. You are showbiz scoops.
John Michael Housen.
You are John Michael Housen over there. Which musical did he co-write? Was it the Dusty Springfield one?
I think he did the Dusty Springfield, but that's obviously biography. The original musical he wrote was called More Sex, Please, We're Seniors.
Fantastic.
Where's your sting for that?
Viagra Presents.
And I saw a dress rehearsal for that because I'm friends with Reese Mitchell, who is Mark Mitchell's son. Reese Mitchell plays Kane in Upper Middle Bogan. His dad was in this.
Wow.
And it was, there's nothing sorrier than seeing a sex comedy in an empty theatre in dress rehearsal mode. That was really a long night. Although Mark Mitchell did fantastic
work. He's always excellent.
Well, Tone, that's art imitating life because just recently in the nursing homes, there's an outbreak of STDs.
There is.
Big time. They all got syphilis.
What's your connection to this?
My mate told me. He said...
how you had caused this to happen.
No, but they're all having a good time.
Mate told me. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. The invention of Viagra, et cetera, et cetera. So, time to play my IMDb game. I'm going to give you the movies and the roles. Buzz in when you think you know who it is with your name. Okay, I'm going to go from 2013 up, okay?
Copy that.
Film, The Frozen Ground. Character, Jack Halcombe. 2014, Rage. The name of the character, Paul Maguire. 2014, Outcast. Galien. 2014, Left Behind. Rayford Steele.
Is this Nicolas Cage?
Give it to him.
Oh, is
amazing.
It? I'm only going from Frozen Ground.
I was about to go Steven Seagal.
No, there's only three movies a year.
Yeah, wow.
Steve does about seven. How's that? But how are these? Can I give you the rest of the character names?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
He also played Evan Lake. Colin Price, Mike Lawford. And then he just gave up on last names. The next few he's called Stone, Troy, John, Ray, Brian. And then he's gone to Captain McVeigh and Noah Cross.
Noah Cross. That's from Chinatown.
That's John Huston.
Yeah.
Well...
Is it? Wow.
Yeah.
Is he stolen that?
Why don't you sit down, Mr. Getz?
Yeah. Oh, and you know who's doing Heath Ledger, if you heard part one of this, I was saying that Heath Ledger copied his performance off Tom Waits.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis won an Oscar for There Will Be Blood, and he's basically doing John Huston as Noah Cross.
I'll tell you what, Daniel Day-Lewis rips off everybody.
He does when that
he
speech.
Ripped, in Gangs of New York, he's just ripping off De Niro.
Is he?
Challenge accepted.
But in There Will Be Blood, it's all, well, I think you will agree that I am an oil man.
Yeah.
That's just John Huston in Chinatown.
You guys, there is a show I would watch. You two, Tone and Locke, putting them together.
The
like, this is from that.
David and Margaret.
Oh,
we'd love that. We'd love that.
But that's...
Bags Margaret.
Yeah. Now I've got to make terrible puns.
Yeah, and hate comedy. That's David's main go.
Man, doesn't he hate comedy?
He hates comedy.
You know, I know I'm holding a grudge, but New Zealand made a fucking hilarious film called What We Do in the Shadows.
Great movie.
With Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi and Johnny Brew as vampires.
Yep.
No stars from, I think it was might have been half, but as I remember it was no stars, not one laugh. I went and saw that film the next night.
Yep.
brought the house down.
Yeah,
genuinely killed.
He has a thing. He over the years, and this is the thing about him. Like, fine, you know, film critics, whatever. Good luck to him. But comedy's always been his sort of. He should have abdicated from the comedy world some time ago, Locke.
Right, recusing himself.
Just going, you know what? It's not my. That's okay to do, isn't it? Look, it's not my strength. I'm going to leave it alone. If you're a theatre reviewer, you don't go and do you do opera as well, and do you do, you know, you can segment yourself if it's not your bag.
Yeah, you've got an open hatred of something you shouldn't really
have
be reviewing.
Have you ever copped it from David Stratton?
No, he's always been nice to me. Always been nice to me.
Are you in the Kettering incident, Locke?
No, I'm not. I do. I have a backstage story about it, though. Give it to us. Because there's some mates in it. Yep. Shocking catering.
Catering incident.
Catering on the Kettering incident.
Because when I saw the Kettering incident, I thought it was just a New Zealand version of the catering show.
The catering incident.
It was really bad food. I'm just telling you, I had mates. You've got mates on it too. Henry Nixon's in it.
Henry Nixon's
up for a Logie.
Henry Nixon is up for a Logie.
The best actor.
Henry's up for a Logie.
Yes. If you like him nuts, then Henry Nixon, and if as I do.
For those who aren't across Henry, the four of us in this room, and Jay, unfortunately, was not in Scumbag.
Yes.
But Henry played Tony's cop partner.
Yes. He was terrifying.
Henry Nixon was Noise. He's the bad guy in Noise. He does a great job in that. Mm-hmm. He must, obviously, he's been in the Kettering incident.
Yeah, he's up for best actor.
Oh, my at the Logies. Lord. I love that guy. And
me too.
He's
I think
category
in Scumbus,
one.
He's so, he literally does every tough cop trope in a very small amount of time on screen, and the genius of it is he's got his shoulder holster on back the front, so the strap is across his chest, but he's sitting there going, what are you looking at, asshole? What's your point, eh? He's basically doing Sam Worthington doing Macbeth.
Yes, he's so wonderful. And let's not forget, Ash, that when we caught up with Henry in Los Angeles, that he was for a very short period of time living under a table.
He was.
Living under a table.
Living under a table.
Yes.
Gollum style.
He got to LA and it was like for one night, I believe it was, he was in between and he had to quickly go and stay there, and there was this giant house that they were all squatting in, and he under a table for an evening and then moved on to better things.
Well, I spent a lot of time in his new abode in LA, and it was lovely because his housemate used to cook these rum balls. And I remember Henry said, you can't come over anymore because you've eaten too many rum balls. But good times.
Here's one for the memoirs.
Yeah, a rum ball incident.
Oh, Ash, it's just... Okay, now, we do need to talk about your business. You spoke about Aristotle Onassis just before.
Yep.
Which makes me think of Jackie Onassis.
Oh, I know a lot about Jackie Onassis. I'm fired up about that. I'm still trying to get to the bottom of the JFK assassination.
Are you?
I've done it.
Because Lockie Hume is something of an expert on this topic.
Locke?
So I'll be interested to see if you've managed to get some findings that have eluded Lockie Hume's investigations.
Yeah.
I reckon he's still alive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hang on. Faked
his death?
Faked his death.
Wow.
Faked the Zapruder footage.
Where is he, Ash? Where is he?
I saw him at the chicken shop.
Yeah, Nando's across the road.
He's getting a quarter chicken.
Oh, dear. That's a theory that hasn't been floated.
No, it hasn't.
But this doesn't sound like a theory. We've got an eyewitness in Ash Williams.
Now, Malachi, my question to you is, if that assassination takes place today, so there's the Zapruder film that we've all seen on YouTube and around the place. Mm-hmm. Was there anyone else filming that day?
Yeah, there's several.
Several. Films. Now, where are those films?
Oh, just YouTube them.
Oh, you can see them as well?
Yeah, of course.
And are they illuminating in any way the other films?
Oh, well, in terms of proving, for example, the long-standing theory that the Zapruder film is faked, it gets rid of that. Wow, but I'll tell you what, there's a guy called... Gee whiz.
Don't go early, Jay.
Yeah, don't go early.
He's got a full tank,
There's a guy called Colin McLaren. He's an ex-cop, an ex-federal cop, who did this thing on for the 50th anniversary.
Did you fly to...
Yeah, I was there in Dallas on the 50th, but this guy's an Australian guy. And he did this doco and this book called JFK, The Smoking Gun.
Oh, yes.
Okay. He got a lot of press here.
I saw this.
And basically, he's saying that Kennedy was accidentally killed by a Secret Service agent in the follow-up car called George Hickey.
Oh.
And he says, because there's a photo of Hickey standing up with the AR-15 assault rifle, and so that explains it. Well, and he got a lot of coverage, and everybody said, well, he solved it.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a film called The Bronson Film of the assassination. There's also one called The Nix Film, which was filmed by a guy called Orville Nix, which completely blows that theory, because you can actually see what's going on just from different angles.
Right.
And all I want to say to Colin McLaren, I'm sitting next to a man, Ash Williams, who saw Kennedy go into the Nando's across the street.
That's right.
He's alive.
He's
so
alive.
There goes your theory.
Wow.
And, I, you know, when that anniversary was going
don't
on.
Don't leave me hanging, Ash. Yeah.
This is how serious Lockie Hume is about solving this crime.
Yes.
When that anniversary was going on, we wanted to use Lockie Hume for something.
Okay.
And I called you and I said, how do I get hold of Lockie Hume? Yes. And you said that he's not in Australia because he has flown to Dallas to personally measure an aqueduct.
Yes, that's correct.
Can you? Would you care to elaborate? Or
there's
is
a great
that...
little book called Flight from Dallas, and it's it's an interesting book where a guy who was at Edwards Air Force Base on the day it happened, he had to hitch a ride. You know, apparently in the military, you get to hitch rides on stuff.
Yep.
And he was directed, he had to go Anchorage or somewhere, I don't know where he had to go. He got on an unmarked plane, it diverted to Dallas, and it landed in the Dallas Viaduct.
Right.
Now, which is huge, by the way. Okay. When I say viaduct, I'm talking, it's like 8 lanes of freeway. That's how big this is. It's all grass.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's possible. That's doable.
Yeah, that's doable. And he claims that a guy, that Lee Harvey Oswald and a Latin-looking man got on the plane, which proves the Oswald double theory and explains the sightings around Dallas and the lead-up to
it. Why did you need to measure this?
I just wanted to go and say, oh, first of all, I got my buddy Ivan, who's a pilot.
Yep.
And got him the, he got me the schematics of the plane.
Great.
And so we just went in and see if it was doable, and I wrote all the stuff down, and then I came, when I came back, I said to Ivy, is it doable? He said, yeah, you could actually land there and take off with that particular plane.
And so what are you going to do? Where are you heading with all this information?
Straight to fucking hell, Tony.
Because there is... I feel like the Secret Service are going to come in and
whisk us away on a plane.
We're just going to be wrestled to the ground.
I'll tell you what, though. If Trump were to be assassinated, touch wood, we wouldn't want anything to happen to you, Donald.
No.
But, you know, imagine the amount of footage.
That's what I'm saying, Locke.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
If anything happens now, it would be footage galore. My question to you, Lockie Hume, is there enough footage from the old JFK assassination to properly piece together what happened?
Oh, there's enough. When you combine that with eyewitness accounts and ear witness accounts, then you've got the scenario that was first reported, where everybody, shots came from that direction, shots came from that direction.
And
so he was caught in a crossfire.
And
the Zapruder film shows that. We see what happens when he gets shot in the head. His head, he bangs backwards into the left.
And if you...
Back and to the left.
Back
and to the left.
Back
and to the left.
That's all you need to know.
What is that?
The dance craze that's sweeping the nation.
Yeah.
That's from JFK, the movie.
And have you been in the school book depository?
I have, yep. It's interesting. I'm going to do a Bill Hicks gag here, because in the school book depository on the sixth floor, it's all recreated as apparently what it was on the day, just in the corner of the so-called sniper's nest. And as Bill Hicks pointed out, just like on the day, Lee Harvey Oswald isn't in the window.
Oh, right. That's a good one.
And Bill
we do now know where Oswald was.
Right.
One of the things that came out of Oliver Stone's film, JFK, is that there was a thing called the Assassination Records Review Board enacted, or the so-called JFK Act.
Okay.
They released about 6 million documents. Now, for years, Dallas police maintained that while Oswald was in custody for 48 hours, no record was made of the interview. They always maintained this, even though there were Secret Service agents in there, FBI people. No, no one wrote down a thing during the interrogation.
Right.
Well, that was bullshit.
No,
of course they were writing down everything they said, questions and answers. That's been released now. So the obvious question, the first question you'd ask Oswald is, where were you when the shots were fired? And Oswald gives his answer. Standing on the front steps in front of the vestibule, drinking a Coke with the building manager, Mr. Bill Shelley.
Wow. That is the best ever, where were you when JFK was shot.
And so there is 10 seconds of film taken in three cars behind Kennedy's limousine.
Yeah.
Was the press car.
Yeah.
And as soon as the shot started ringing out, two cameramen from NBC, stringers, started filming. And the front of the book depository is caught on film at the exact moment, about 8 seconds after the final shot was fired. Now, NBC have this footage. So does the Sixth Floor Museum. They will not release the 4K digital version of it to reveal what it shows. However, I've got it.
Hang on.
What? Because
here's a footage. Team effort bombshell. Yeah.
Here we go, guys. Get ready for the sting on this one.
We've finally done it. Okay. This is why we're...
missing Richard Simmons. Move over Malcolm Gladwell. Team effort's heading for the top.
Here we go. Fuck yourself, cereal.
Here we
this
go.
This is it, guys. we're done it.
When Oliver Stone's movie JFK came out on DVD and VHS, there's a documentary which Barbara Koppel, the famous documentary, who did Harlan County, USA,
yes.
Called Beyond JFK, The Question of Conspiracy. And it just basically, it's interviews with everybody. It's a bit of the making of and blah, 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 blah. It has that footage.
Oh.
And it's not referred to. It's just showing footage of the aftermath of the shooting. And that's the footage everybody's... But you can YouTube the footage, but it's a poor
too
resolution.
Blurry.
Too blurry. And then it occurred to me, when JFK came out on Blu-ray...
Oh.
That they would have done a 4K transfer of the Koppel doco.
God. Oh my God.
So I put it on my Blu-ray player, and there it is in 4K digital resolution. And guess who's standing on the front steps? There's Lee Harvey Oswald standing up the back with a Coca-Cola in his hand 8 seconds after the shots were fired.
Hang on a second. So there you go. That's it. So all this time, all these inquiries, investigations, mm-hmm. the answer was at JB Hi-Fi.
Yes. Thank you. And in fact, I rang an interview, rang a researcher and said, the answer to the case is at JB Hi-Fi. There you go. That is true, Tone. So there you go. If you want to know where Oswald was, or you can just YouTube Prayer Man Lee Harvey Oswald.
So who did it?
Who shot him?
Yeah.
Well, I'd give you a whole bunch of names, but it wouldn't mean anything to you, Ash, because we all know he wasn't shot.
Ooh. But just look. Ooh, geez, it's all there. Do you know
what?
I tell you what. Yeah. I tell you what, you there's go, a Ashley. Lot there. Well, we can't top any of that.
There you go, kids. You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
I thought I had, you know, some Darryl Summers show bombshell.
Yeah, but there's the answer to it. It's like, where were you? I was here. Is there anything to back that up? Oh. Yes, here's the footage. So he's exactly where he said he was. And what I love about the record of interview is that he actually uses the word vestibule.
Yeah,
and
you're
on the front steps of the school book depository, it's actually a vestibule, a double set of doors, then another double set of doors. So Oswald, on top of all the pressure he must have been under, still did the Oxford English Dictionary definition of what a vestibule is.
And after all of that, Lockie, and all of the amazing insights you've given us over the two podcasts today and the amazing information there about JFK, the incredible Batman knowledge, the behind-the-scenes stuff, I do need to ask you the question that I was asked to ask you when I said Lockie Hume coming on, one of the most interesting guys and one of my all-time favourite actors, and what a great guy he is, and to which the person I was telling said, yeah, did he have fake lips for Kerry Packer?
And the answer is yes, I did.
Yes, you had.
I had plastic surgery done.
There's nothing he can't do.
Yep, because Kerry Packer, let's face it, not exactly the handsomest man in the world, but he had a big trout pout.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I said when they offered me the job is, well, I want that look. And so they had to find a plastic surgeon who could do it. But I also stipulated, because the women, you know, like the Real Housewives of Melbourne, who go and get this look, they don't want it. They want it to be permanent. So I said, we've got to find a guy who can have this stuff removed. I want it removed from my face, like 48 hours after filming. And so we found this plastic surgeon, the only guy in Australia who does it, and we got the procedure
more
done.
More painful to put in or take out?
Take out.
Mm.
Really painful, because putting it in, when I went in, he had done his research, so he put, there's like 100 photos of Kerry Packer, close up of Packer's mouth all over the
surgery. And so that guy, can I ask, is that before he was going out with Gabby Greco? Or sorry.
We paid him in dog food.
So there
it's
you
all
go.
Down under the counter.
He is just, well, I mean, where do you start? All right, Jay, we're almost going to get out of here. We have had some tweets. People saying they enjoy it because, Tone, the Disco Machine, Damien Cowell's Disco Machine tour is still ongoing.
It's finished for now.
Finished for now.
Yeah, but it could come back.
But make sure you get the album Get Your Dag On. Excellent.
Which Ed is on.
I'm on, yes, and Tone, you're on as well. And the song there, I think it should be a breakout hit, is called Come On Wally.
Mm.
And we had a couple of songs dedicated to the Gold Logie winner last week.
And can I just say, we have still not heard from the project. We sent that in.
Well, if he wins the Gold Logie this year, we've somehow got to get into the control booth, and that's what plays as he walks up.
But wouldn't you just at least call with a no?
No.
Big on human rights, not so much on the common human decency, would suggest.
Mm. Yeah, I would too. But there are a lot of people still enjoying our songs, Ash.
Come on, Wally.
Yeah, we're trying to get a whole album of songs based around the Gold Logie winning human rights champion. I believe, and if we go, I think he's teamed up with the Rolling Stones on one.
Really?
Oh. Wally. Gotta
gold Logie.
Wow. This is going to be quite an
teamed
album.
Up with Keith Urban too, by the sound of it. On.
You know, he's getting around because I know that Michael Stipe, huge human rights campaigner,
sure.
And he's got REM back together and jumped into the studio.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, to record a tribute to their favourite Gold Logie winner.
If you believe they put Waleed on the moon, Waleed on the moon.
And if you believe, he's in the vestibule.
Oh, vestibule.
Word of the show.
Keep a vestibule.
Keyword.
Make sure you keep those suggestions coming in. Ash, before we go, anything you'd like to add? I believe you got in touch. You've been reading the Barefoot Investor's book.
I called the Barefoot Investor's wife, Ed, and left a voicemail. I got her number. And that's mine forever. And okay, so I'm going to keep calling.
Call her now.
Okay.
No. Both Jay and myself are jumping up and down at the moment.
Well, I'll just read the number out. So
That's not fair.
So we better get it, Jay. What on earth can we drag out from today's team efforts?
Well, we can give you a couple of things. David and Margaret on the film. What was the name of the film, Tony? The New Zealand film?
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows. David gave it 1 star. Margaret gave it 1.5.
Okay.
Leave it alone, guys.
The review is online. You can find the transcripts, and it says the laughs are few and far between in this would-be satire.
No, they're
the humor
not.
Is so undergraduate that it's almost an insult to university students.
I saw it with a full house, anyway, and they were pissing themselves.
Good luck to them. Yep.
Interestingly enough, there is no Margaret and David review of Ash's tickle video, which is an oversight on their part.
Yeah.
David would like it.
I think he would.
Because it's the story of a man who's just trying to put bread on the table for his family. He's a hotel manager, and he's a pretty damn good one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And he's just incredibly ticklish.
Richard Armitage played the dwarf, Thorin Oakenshield.
That's the character, Thorin Oakenshield.
That is such an incredible lookalike.
Humor-like.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. It is very, very... Yeah, I had never made that connection until sitting right here, standing across the mic.
Robbed. Jackson, you'll be hearing from my lawyers.
Yeah.
Sorry, John.
Your lawyer, Darryl Summers, too.
John Michael Howson wrote Dusty.
I thought so.
That was the musical. Yeah. And at the end of part one, we talked about Cesar Romero's The Joker being in the nastiest villains, the 60 nastiest. Number one, J.R. Ewing.
Of course.
Yes. From Dallas.
Number two, Mr. Burns.
Good. Fair enough.
Number three is Gustavo Fring. Fring.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Jeez, I thought you were going to say Gustavo Quirt and the Brazilian tennis player. I was like, fucking Jesus.
Where does Mr.
three French Opens.
Mr. Bad from E Street. Is he on the list?
He is not. I think he's number 61. He's just outside.
Disaster.
But I give you, number four is The One-Armed Man.
From Fugitive, yes.
Fugitive. And then this sort of brings the whole episode full circle. Number five, Al Swearengen.
Swearengen.
Of course, I've forgotten the... Ian McShane, aka Lovejoy, the crime-solving antiques dealer.
Is that one of his...
That was his most famous role, pre-Deadwood.
God, help me. That is bizarre. All right, that's us. We'll be back with more team effort soon.
Just a quick question, guys. Please. Did I lend my copy of the DVD of William Friedkin's To Live and Die in L.A. to any of you guys?
No.
I forgot who I lent it to, so I'm just asking around.
Beautiful Blu-ray by the Arrow people.
I went and saw the 2K print at the Astor Saturday night. Awesome.
I think you may have lent it to the guys from the Stuff You Should Know podcast. I'll get in touch with them, or perhaps The Bump, Mamma Mia's
Pregnancy.
I'm just
asking everybody. I couldn't remember. It might have been one of you guys.
One thing you did give me, Lockie, that I've still got is the David Lee Roth book that you personally...
No, but that's for you.
That's for me.
That's
to keep.
For you.
You personally signed it, and I read it.
Good on you, buddy. Good on you.
Thank you.
Tony, thank you.
There's a lot of questions to answer next time.
Ash, good work.
Thank you, Ed.
Lockie, thanks so much for coming
along.
Guys,
thanks for being with you guys. I love you guys. Let's rock on. Let's go see Darryl Summers. Let's make this happen.
You're wonderful. But Jay, as always, thank you so much.
A pleasure.
And big thank you to Triple M for housing our nonsense. We are the team effort, helping you lead a better life. We'll see you soon.
I wish we could help you, citizen, but we're just a couple of ordinary crime fighters going about our mundane business.